Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Then we will help you keep it running thanks to the help we get from a technician. Let's say we have a garden show that we deal with master gardeners, and I think you're kind of the master gardener of car repair.
I prefer Papa. That's my choice.
But. Your grandpa. You have how many grandkids you have?
Ten.
Ten of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dan Burns, if you're new to the show, runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. And if you have an issue with your vehicle, and before you bring it into your favorite shop or your favorite dealer, Dan might give you a little hint or two of what could be wrong with your vehicle. So call us, text us. You know we tend to get busy. Dan will be with us till about 7:45 this morning when Jack Farrell gets in here with his wine chat. So 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Again, thanks to Susie Jones for filling in while we're on a fantastic Historic America trip, our Good Neighbor tour to some great places here in the U.S. But thanks again to Susie. You've been well, I hope, Dan? Busy there at Lloyd's?
Yeah, it's fall season is kicking in, and we're filling up with all of that, for sure.
Now, when do you think, I know you don't have a crystal weather ball, but when do you think you guys will start putting on snow tires? It's too early.
I haven't yet. I have not put on my first set of snow tires, but it won't be long. You know, and the key is that with putting your snow tires on is as soon as the pavement temperature and the weather cools off, then that soft rubber won't get torn up with the heat is what tears up the
sure.
snow tires. So as long as it's cool. So I would think, you know, certainly within the next couple weeks to a month, it'll be just fine.
Yeah, because tomorrow. Just remember
the Halloween snowstorm. That's only a month
true,
away.
That's true. And October 1 is tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
First day of October. I was thinking, too, that and we're gonna hear a little feature from CBS and CNET about a new engine that Mazda's come out with. But if you do have a car care question, by all means, you know, we always get kind of overloaded with both texts and calls. So don't wait if you have a question. 651-989-9226. Here's the text number, 81807. Texter says, and I know we've had this before, I put summer tires on the Mercedes this year. I plan to store the car all winter. Should I overfill the tires?
You know, that's common practice.
Is it?
And I don't recommend way overfilling them, but to overfill them slightly for two reasons. One is they say that it allows or keeps the tire from settling on the bottom and getting a little flat spot on it that you might feel for a while in the spring. And the second reason is if they leak a little bit, you know, if they seep a little bit from around the rims or whatever, then it's just good to have extra air in there so that you don't have to deal with a flat tire come spring. So I think it's a good idea to overinflate them.
I saw you do a work on Tony's SUV because it was leaking air, and I thought, yeah, maybe the tire is bad. But it turned out to be what you said. You cleaned up the it's kind of a corrosion there, the junk that builds up in there.
Nothing wrong with the tire. Something's wrong with the rim.
Yeah,
yeah. And the alloy rims get that dusty corrosion on them. The steel wheels get rust built up in there, and we just clean them up good with a buffing wheel.
Yeah,
and then put a little lubricant on them to slow it down from happening again. It certainly will happen again, but we try and
prevent
slow that process.
Yeah. Well, so far so good. I have to say. Larry is calling in from Andover this morning. Go ahead, Larry. Dan's listening.
Yeah, see, my question is, I'm installing air conditioning on a 63 Impala with dual electric fans. And my question is my alternator, can you test that alternator to see what kind of amps it's putting out? It's an aftermarket alternator, and it's a chrome one, and there's no markings on it.
Yeah, we absolutely can. We hook up our battery tester and we load test the battery. And by load testing the battery, you get the alternator to put out as much as it will. and we have a amp probe around the positive battery cable, and that'll tell us how many amps is coming out of the alternator. The other thing that you can do is oftentimes the alternator will actually have a sticker on it or a plaque on it that will tell you what the capacity is. On that, on an older, you know, when I first started in business, there was a starter and alternator truck that came around, and on the truck he had about 8 alternators that fit all cars, and that's all we needed. And now there's 800 or more. Yes. I mean, it's unbelievable how many different starters and alternators there are now. But in the day there was very, very few. And the one, so I know that alternator that's on your car, and it's probably capable of putting out about 50 or 60 amps, which I think for running air conditioning is probably just fine.
Oh, good. Yeah. So it's good.
You know, just to finish that story, one more thing that you can do is when you get the alternator in, you can put that amp probe around the positive wire for the air conditioning and see how much the air conditioning is drawing.
Oh, okay.
Then you can do the math on that and feel good about the capacity of the alternator.
Very good, Larry. Sounds like it's good news. And that's how it works. If you want to call in your car care question, 651-989-9226. Line is open. Or send a text, and we'll get back to those, too. 81807.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to our car care show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful. I would imagine this time of year, well, it's beautiful all times of year. There on Grand Avenue, where are you guys located?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, right between Lexington and Victoria.
It's a great excuse to get over there.
It is. There's a lot to do while we're fixing your car.
Yeah.
There's coffee shops on every corner, and there's restaurants, and there's shopping, and there's all sorts of things to do.
Absolutely.
And it's a beautiful walk up and down the
avenue. It is.
That's for sure.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
How do we get in touch with you, though?
You can give us a call. Somebody will be there today. I will be, but I can't remember who I'm with, at 651-228-1316, or you can find us on our new website at Lloyd's Automotive, LLOIDS, LloydsAutomotive.net.
Very good. Let's put you back to work here. Beth is calling in from Edina with a question. Good morning, Beth.
Yes, I have a 2006 Nissan Altima. And I was told a while back I needed a new gas tank, which I have put on. The gauge is still not registering right.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I was out of town last weekend. I put on 280 miles, and it said it was down to a half. And then as I got towards home, it was at 3/4.
Yeah. You know, of course, in the process of taking the gas tank in and out, the sending unit for your gas gauge is inside the tank. And so, you know, it could be as simple as in the process they left a wire loose or a connector that didn't get plugged on completely tight. So, but the answer is you're going to have to take that back and have them check their work for you. They have the equipment to easily check that to see if it's the gauge. I mean, now, coincidentally, there could be something wrong with the gauge on the dash, but certainly if it started right after they had the tank out, that'll be where they'll start looking and see if they can't find the problem there.
So take it back. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Beth. Let's see who's next. Dick is calling from South St. Paul with a question. Good morning, Dick.
Good morning. I have a 2011 Town and Country. It's a six-cylinder. And it has intermittent mist. I've had that for almost a year now. And when it runs like a top, and every once in a while it misses.
Yeah.
I had it into a garage, and they were all set to dig into it, and they couldn't get it to miss.
Yeah. You know, if you bring it into maybe a different shop, we have information that will be stored in the computer. Hopefully we'll have information. Not always. You know, sometimes those misfires don't go long enough for it to set off an alarm in the computer so that it records that information. But maybe if you try again, somebody will try and access that. And there's actually, in the computer, there's a counter that tells us exactly which cylinder is misfiring and how often it's, you know, how many times it's misfiring. So the information is there if the computer was able to store it. And if not, then you'll have to go back to what you were trying to do is bring it into the shop when it's acting up and or leave it long enough for them to drive it and see if they can't get it to act up. But like I say, the information is there, and we can access it to decide which cylinder it is. And more than likely, it's an ignition coil or a spark plug or a carbon track on a spark plug or something like that. So, but the trick is to zero in on exactly which cylinder is. If not, then what they should do is just take the spark plugs out of all the cylinders and mechanically explore things, and maybe they can get some information that way too.
Oh, okay. So. Very good. Good luck, Dick. Thank you for the call. Before we break, John is calling from Anoka with a question. Go ahead, John. Thank you.
Yes, good morning. I recently purchased a 2015 Ford Escape, and the recommendation and the owner's manual is a premium synthetic by Ford or a blend. Which is your recommendation? And it has a turbo, so I'm a little bit concerned as to make sure I have the right oil in it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, any synthetic, I mean, just exactly what they said. A blend would get you by, but, you know, there's good, better, best. There's conventional motor oil, which actually is pretty good nowadays.
Yeah.
Now that they have the refining process so good. But there's conventional oil, there's a synthetic blend, and then there's a full synthetic, and the little gray as to which is which. But in everything in life, it's good, better, best. Use the best. It's not that much more, and it is that much better, so it's worth it.
And you always say to check out what the manufacturer recommends, like for viscosity.
Right, which is exactly what he did.
Yeah.
And that's the right thing to do. It's probably a 0 to 20.
0 to 20 or something, yeah.
It's very...
A lot of cars there.
Very thin, low viscosity, but they do that so that they get better gas mileage, and the oil is good enough to handle it, and the car is engineered for it. So do what they say. That's going to give you the best performance and the best engine life.
Good deal. When we come back after this quick break, Dan, we ask for some text messages, and we have some. So we'll get to the text screen in just a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We're in the midst of our car care show. Dan Burns with Lloyd's Automotive is helping us out till Jack Farrell calls in about 7:45. We have a bunch of text messages, Dan, I don't want to forget about. Let's get to them. Does driving on a gravel road, texter says, reduce the life of tires, you think?
I don't know. Probably not.
Never heard that question.
The gravel, it seems to me the gravel would slip more than the asphalt. So I think it probably does not reduce the wear of the tires.
Mm-hmm.
But sure makes a mess of the rest of the car, doesn't it? The air filters all of that. So,
by the way, the text number is 81807 if you want to send your car care question via text. Texter says this, I have a 2005 Yukon. On hot days, only my traction control light comes on. The display says, quote, service four-wheel drive, service stability system. What do you think is happening?
Well, probably a sensor.
Okay.
All of those electric components are affected by heat, and on a hot day, it's just slightly off and not happy. It could be a connection. That's another thing that happens in the heat, but it's probably one of the sensors at one of the wheels, and it would be normal that all of those systems which use that information would be affected.
Okay.
So, and, you know, for safety purposes, it shuts them all down. That's what it's doing.
A texter is thinking of buying a Taurus SHO. Is it a good idea, or am I buying, more costly repairs?
You are buying more costly repairs.
Really?
And they're complicated and...
What does that mean? Super high output?
Yeah, they're really fun. I mean,
are they?
It's a great... Like any luxury sports type car, that's what you're getting, and they are complicated, and they are, you know, higher maintenance. But if that's what you want, and you can afford it, that's what you should do.
There you go.
Because it's fun.
All right, there's your answer. Let's see if we can get through this next text. We just had our 2005 Chrysler C in for repair. It had actually been sitting for over 2 years because it did not run right from the get-go. Bought it used. The repairs made by the Chrysler dealership was oxygen sensor, throttle body, and manifold gasket set. In addition, they did brake repair. All in all, paid, let's see if this carries over here, $1,525. Couldn't even drive it out of the lot. It loses power, which was the original problem. Well, now they say it needs a PCM, whatever that is, and four connections for that to the tune of another $2,200. Yikes! What should we do? How do we know? How do we know that'll cure the problem? How deep is too deep? Someone has told us they knew someone who could solder connections on the PCM. What is a PCM?
That's the computer. That's the that's the brains of the vehicle. And connections are common. And I think that's probably what I would do if they're not. I mean, if whoever you're working with is not giving you any sort of warranty or standing behind any of the work that they've done so far, and I'm not saying that it's wrong. I don't know. But I think I would, before I did that, before I bought all the connectors and the PCM and all that, I think I probably would take it to another shop and see if there's not a shortcut, if there's not a repair that can be done to the connections. And oftentimes there is a repair that can be done. So I would explore that a little bit further before I bit off another big chunk like that.
Wow. Okay. Let's see. Another text says this, a 2002 Isuzu Rodeo Sport, 210,000 miles, transmission 4L30E. Not sure what that means. When the car reaches about 48 miles an hour, it does not shift, and the RPM starts to go even higher as you increase speed from 48 to 60. So driving slower than 48, transmission works. After that, it doesn't shift. I have replaced the shift solenoids, the band solenoid, and the converter clutch solenoid, but I was unable to replace the force motor solenoid because they sent me the wrong one.
Wow.
That was a long one. But I'm not sure what you're going to
They sound pretty handy, and it sounds like you're on the right track. However, I would stop before I bought any more parts and installed them. It sounds like you're very capable of doing that, but I think if you got a little help with the diagnostic portion of this, and we're willing to spend a little bit of money checking it out, in the long run, it would be cheaper because we can tell you which solenoids are and aren't working and engaging. And then with a little bit more testing, we can tell you if it's the computer that's sending faulty information or if it's a solenoid or the wiring that's not working correctly. So I think if you got a little help in the long run, it would save you some money.
All right. You know as well as I do that we get a lot of great smart listeners.
We do.
To CCO, And we're talking about the gravel and tires and the wear. The texter says, I'm a rural mail carrier, and gravel greatly reduces the life. And we all know this.
Oh, okay.
There's a real life.
Those who buy tires would know, wouldn't they? So there you go.
Yeah, very good. Thanks for taking the time to do that. Texter says, does Dan recommend buying new or slightly used vehicles? Well, both.
Both.
Right?
Yeah,
you don't have any preference.
No, I don't at all. I personally do both. So. Yeah. Sometimes I want the new, brand new, you know, smell of a brand new car, and I enjoy that. And sometimes the car that I want is not available slightly used, but there's nothing wrong with buying slightly used cars. You know, an awful lot of cars in the market have been out on lease for 2 years, and they come back, and they're still great cars.
And you check them out all the time, don't you?
Check them out all the time.
Customers come in with that. Yeah.
I would recommend all of the above.
Yeah, it's very good. Texter says, missed last week's show. They have a 96 Ranger. The steering won't return to center. Could that be the steering gear?
It could be the steering gear, or it could be any of the components connected to the steering. It could be a ball joint or a tie rod that's rusted and is sticking. But something for sure is sticking, and you should get that in soon and have that checked because that's not safe. But could be the steering gear, but I think probably more likely it's a component that is causing it to be stuck. And if you get that replaced, that component replaced, it probably will work just fine again.
All right. Another couple of texts. My garage man says driving on gravel roads definitely reduces mileage of tires. By the way, my current 2010 Equinox has 438,500 miles.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wonder how many sets of tires.
That's true. Good question. I still remember a show we did many years ago.
Yeah.
And we have no way of proving that the accuracy
right.
of that, but people were calling in, giving us these high mileage
yeah.
success stories.
Million miles.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you could say this or know the difference. How much larger cargo area between a Chevy Traverse and a Chevy Equinox?
Oh, I have no idea. But that information is readily available on
is
the
it?
Internet. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, I promised a feature that I mentioned to you off
yeah.
the air, and I think you might find this. And do we have time, Dennis? We can play this for a minute? Yeah, let's listen to this. I think you'll find it interesting.
We're used to hybrid cars, but not like this. I'm Brian Cooley from CNET's Roadshow. Mazda has developed a remarkable new engine some think is the holy grail that'll keep us burning rather than charging for years to come. It's called an HCCI engine, and it's sort of a diesel-gas hybrid. The engine uses gas, but combusts it like diesel, without spark plugs most of the time. It uses diesel-style compression ignition, which means the engine relies on heat and extremely high pressure to make the air and fuel detonate. The result is the fuller energy capture typical of diesel for a huge 30% improvement in MPG and torque, yet with the cleaner burning of gasoline. They do retain spark plugs in this engine for very low and very high RPM situations. Mazda's expected to have it out in cars, probably the Mazda 3, by 2019. No word yet on the cost. Diesel engines tend to cost more, blunting some of the advantage of their higher MPG. High-tech cars and modern driving at CooleyOnCars.com.
I found that kind of interesting.
I love it, actually. I think
yeah.
that's a great idea.
Right.
The beautiful thing about the diesel engine is the high mileage that you get with it.
Yeah.
And why can't we just raise the compression of a gasoline engine. Eliminate
yeah.
the spark, and which is kind of remarkable, isn't it? That pressure makes things hard enough to ignite.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
exactly.
a lot of pressure.
It
but,
really
man,
is.
It's pretty interesting.
All right, Dan, how about a quick phone number for Lloyd's?
You can call us today at 651-228-1316.
We will talk more cars next week, right?
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.